morning, everyone. Happy New Year's Eve. Wow, we're at the end of 2013. Can't believe it. At least for me, and a lot of people have said this, it's really went by fast. I'm not sure why it seems more so this year, but praise the Lord, he's been with us through it all, and he's with us as we enter into a new year. Let's begin our time of worship now by turning to hymn number 584. Hymn number 584, and we'll start with yesterday, today, forever. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, we praise you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who came at Christmas time, the first Christmas, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived among us as fully God and fully man. He revealed you to us in a way that had been not seen before, and he is the final word. We praise you for him. We praise you for the life he lived and then for the life that he gave. We were learning of shepherds in the last service and the sheep. And he became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we praise you that Jesus did that for us. He died on that cross and shed his blood to pay the price in full for our sins. He took our punishment that we could go free, that we might have newness of life, be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, born again by him, and walking in him ever since. And Father, we praise you for that salvation. We thank you for Jesus who we've been singing about. We praise you for the joy that he gives us, for all that he has done and for all that he is. We pray that he'll be lifted high in this hour as we worship. We pray that our hearts will be drawn closer to you through this time and to one another as we minister to each other in this service and in the fellowship time afterwards and in the meeting tonight as we get together to ring in the new year. Father, we praise you for all of your blessings to us and commit this hour to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Looking at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Here we are. Beginning at verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. And them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Excuse me. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of these beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to the good and But to do good, that's it. And to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather, to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather here to worship you. We just thank you for all the wonderful things that you do in our lives day by day. Thank you for the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his guidance and help to us each and every day. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us as we go through this world. Lord, as we come to the end of this year, we just want to thank you so much for watching over us, keeping us, helping us in every situation. This whole world has been through a lot, and it's continuing on. We just pray that you will continue to guide and direct, be with the leaders, that they might know what they're doing and be able to bring glory and honor to your name. We pray for our church, our Father. We thank you for the people that come here. Thank you, Lord, for each one who loves you, who is seeking to serve you, who is doing your will. Pray that you'll just give strength and wisdom and understanding in all things. And Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to guide us as we look forward to the new year and all that it holds. We have no idea what is going to happen. We just look to you and pray that your holy will be accomplished. Lord, we thank you so much for your presence with us this morning. And for each one of these dear people who are here, we just pray that you will truly, truly bless us, guide us, help us, and lead us by your Holy Spirit. And we'll thank you for it and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look once again to Hebrews chapter 13. Well, as I said, here we are, the last day of 2023. What will the new year hold for us? Huh? Think of that. We can be sure that there'll be many changes. There always are. It seems like this last year we have had so many changes, and most of them not for the better, right? Yet, the important thing is that the Lord is with us no matter what, right? And we are going to continue on, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? Is that right? Amen. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. That's great. We're going to do that. It seems that just about everything changes. But there is one who never changes. We read that this morning. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He's there. He's not going to change. He's not going to change his mind about our about who we are or about the world and all that it holds. He has his values. He has his standards. And they're going to continue right on. He's not going to change anything. In Malachi 3:6 it says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Think of that. You know, just Israel. Why is Israel still in existence? After all these years. How many wars have they had over there? Over and over again. And all these people all around them that desire nothing better than to see them perish. Right? And yet, they're still there. They're fighting, but they're still there. And I think it's the Lord. He says, I change not, therefore you do not perish. He said that about Israel. I think we can apply that to ourselves as well. The Lord is with us to help us. So as we face the new year, we can be confident that Christ is with us. For he said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Does the Lord tell us the truth? Yes. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever our health condition is, whatever else is going on in the world, Jesus is with us. And he says, I will never leave you. So we can count on that. And so, he says, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Fear. So many people are scared, right? They just don't know what to do. When situations, when you're not quite sure what's going to happen, what happens? You become fearful, anxious, stressful. That's the American way, isn't it? Of course. And he says, no, I'll be with you. Don't fear. So, throughout the chapter of Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews that we've looked at in time past. I know we haven't done it lately. But anyway, we are urged to trust the Lord Jesus and live faithful Christian lives. And he tells us he wants us to live consistently as believers. Don't allow anything to turn you aside from following after the truth. So first of all, we see we need a life that's characterized by brotherly love. It tells us that in the very first verse. Let brotherly love continue, right? Brotherly love. That ghetto Philadelphia kind of love, right? You know, I don't know about you, but I hate to even listen to the news anymore because, you know, so-and-so has been shot down here on the street. Another one has been knifed. They broken into his house. The whole family was killed. And all. Where is the Philadelphia love, huh? And yet that's what he's talking about here, this brotherly love that we should have for one another. It comes from that word, phileo. And it speaks of human affection, fondness, desiring the best for another. The word brother means from the same womb, right? We're brothers in Christ because we all belong to him, right? And we should love one another. We should seek to help each other in every possible way. and be concerned about whatever concerns the other person. That's what it's all about, to desire the very best. So, in a spiritual sense, believers are all from the same source. We all belong to the same Father, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and one another. We need to love each other in that way. So this is the basis for our spiritual fellowship. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse, I have trouble reading numbers. I'm not sure why that is, but I do. 9, looks like. 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. He says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you. For you know, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. It's one of the lessons that the Lord teaches his children. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, throughout the whole area. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. He says, you know, you can't love each other too much. Right? And we need to have that frame of mind that we are going to help other people. We're going to do all we possibly can to see that others succeed. Verse 10 says, and indeed, did I read that one? No, maybe not. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren. I think I did, yeah. Anyway, I'm having trouble seeing this thing here this morning. But anyway, it's getting better. And that you study to be quiet, verse 11. Study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have a lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them who also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he covers all these bases here. He says, let's love one another. Let's do the best we possibly can for each other. And don't worry about those that have gone on before. Those in Christ that have died, they are safe. They're with the Lord. And we can look forward to that time when Jesus comes again and we'll all go and be together. Right? Now, I have no idea what it's going to be like. Do you? If you do, I'd appreciate you telling me how it's going to be. But you know, it's going to be something about we're all going to be united together again, right? Those who've gone on before, those who are going up with it when the Lord comes, and with those who die, we all will be together again if we are in Christ Jesus, if we're saved by his grace and mercy. So love for the brethren is an indication that one is a true believer. Did you know that? 1 John 3, let's see what it says there. 1 John 3, verse 14. Excuse me. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, this is, he says, the love of God. This is the characteristic of a believer, right? We are to love one another, and we are to help each other in their times of need in any way that we possibly can. This is the love that's expressed through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to talk about it here in these verses that we're looking at here. We find it expresses itself in charity for strangers. In verse 2, he says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? Think of that. The angels. We read about Abraham and Sarah there outside their tent, and they look and they see these three men coming down to them. And the angels. The Lord came along too that time. But anyway, Lot in the city of Sodom, sinful place, these angels went in to see exactly what was going on and visited with Lot and had to take him out of the city. You know, think of Lot. Huh? This man who had become so engrossed in all of this that was going on in Sodom didn't even want to leave. And besides, he said, "Hey, if I have to go, could I go to one of these other little towns out here?" As, you know, it's amazing. But anyway, we need to have charity for strangers, and we need to have, it says, sympathy for those who are in prison. Verse 3, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." So he's talking about prisoners. We need to have concern for those who are in prison. The Gideons and a number of other groups that go into the prisons and preach the gospel, prison fellowship, and these other places, and go reach these people and see them come to Christ and meet their needs in every way. That's a wonderful thing. And he says also here to those who are suffering adversity. And we need to be concerned about them as well. And for sufferers, those who are going through all kinds of pain, we need to be able to help them if we possibly can. And we need a pure love for our spouses, our husbands or wives, as the case may be. It says, notice what it says in verse 4. Marriage is honorable. That's the thing to do. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. See, there's no problem there. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You know, you see so much of these on television or in the movies or whatever you're looking at. Constantly, right? And if they always, it's great. You know, consenting adults. Huh? Is it all right? No. It's not. And we are to have one husband or one wife and be faithful to that person. And it says it's perfectly okay. Go ahead, procreate, whatever you have to do, you know. It's perfectly all right. But don't mess around with others. That's not right. It doesn't matter what anyone else might say. Huh? I know it's acceptable, but it's not right. Okay, then we have, where am I? Marriage has been instituted by God. We know that. He expects his people to honor their wedding vows, to be faithful to their spouse, and those who, I can't see this, those who break, who break their marriage vows, there it is, or those who commit sensual acts outside of marriage will be judged by God. Isn't that what he said? I believe it was. It says those who commit those acts will, God will judge. So, something to think about and make sure you don't get involved in anything like that. So, the first thing we saw here was our Christian life should be characterized by brotherly love, the right kind of love, and for the right kind of person. And then the second thing is, a consistent Christian life is one controlled by Christ himself. And he brings contentment. Notice in verse 5, he says, let your manner of life, conversation, let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Always wanting what someone else has, right? Don't look around and say, oh my goodness, he's got a Cadillac and I've got a Chevy. I wish I had his Cadillac. Well, anyway, don't live in covetousness. Don't always be discontent, because he says here, be content with such things as you have. Because Jesus has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See? We can be content, right? Whatever we have. And realize that he is with us. He brings the contentment. We don't need to look around and try to find something somewhere else. Let's see what I got here. First, 2 Timothy 6. Let's look there for a minute. 2 Timothy. I hope that's right. 6:16. No, wait a minute. 6:6, I think it is. I guess I should write this bigger, maybe. I don't know. These cataract things, I can't. I can't blame it on the cataracts anymore. They're gone, but it's still kind of blurry. 2 Timothy 6. And boy, it is blurry this morning. 6. There's no such thing as 2 Timothy 6. What am I looking at? 1 Timothy. Must be 1 Timothy. You got to bear with me this morning. 6. There it is. 1 Timothy 6. And verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, which quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who, before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Be content. The Lord will give you what you need, and he will take care of you. Don't be covetous. Be content. He brings companionship. And back to our text in Hebrews. Verse 5. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Companionship. We don't have to worry about that. Jesus is not going to forsake us. He's the good shepherd. Denny brought this presentation in Sunday school this morning about the shepherds, how they watched the sheep, took care of them in every way. Jesus will do that for you. I'm sure he is doing it, right? And he's taking care of us and leading us through whatever we might face, whatever happens in life. He brings companionship and he brings calmness. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. We have no reason to be anxious. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right? So he brings contentment, he brings calmness, we can trust him. And he brings certainty. Verse 8, he says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent. He never changes, and we need to just trust him whenever. You know, we've made it this far, haven't we? Yesterday, Jesus was there. What about today? He's here. Tomorrow. As we enter into a new year, the Lord has promised that he's going to be there with us. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. He says, you don't need to look anywhere else. We have it right here. God has given us his word. Why would you go look someplace else? You know, he's with us. He's promised to keep us, to care for us, to guide us and lead us. Why would you look somewhere else? Oh, well, I just wanted to see what it was like. You know, no. Stick with it. That's what he's saying. He that endures to the end, right? He that endures to the end shall be saved. Now, I don't mean you can get lost. I'm not saying that. Don't tell me. I did not say that. But anyway, just keep on keeping on. Dr. Robertson used to say that when we were at Chattanooga. Young people, don't ever quit. Just keep on keeping on. Trust the Lord. Huh? Simple, isn't it? And we need to do that. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats or anything else, right? Grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sins. Huh? Grace. God's amazing, amazing grace. He brings this certainty to us, and we can trust him. He does not change. There we see, third thing, a committed Christian finds his soul, or feeds his soul on spiritual food. We need to be careful what we digest, right? Because there's so much that is poisonous, contaminated, and we can get messed up. He says, feed on the right kind of food. Look into the Word of God. Look to the Lord. Allow him to lead you. And follow that which is right. Follow those leaders who have taught you the truth. He says that here in verse 9. Those who have passed on, perhaps, they have gone. But he says, wait a minute. I had it here a minute ago. Oh, here it is, verse 7 it was. Remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. See, the word of God. I don't mean myself personally, but maybe Pastor Rain or someone else is now, he's no longer here. Jesus is still here. Hey? Yes, he is. And when I'm gone, someone else will be here proclaiming the word of God. But just stick with it. Don't allow anyone to feed you something that will not benefit you. You see? We need to know that this is God's word, and that's what we need. We need to feed our souls on the truth. And look at verse 10. He says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. He goes on to talk about the sacrifices that were made previously. What they did in the tabernacle and the temple before Jesus came. Well, but now that's all in the past. The Lord Jesus has come and provided everything that we need. And he says here in verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Jesus has suffered for us. He has provided salvation for us. And we don't need to look back to anything else. All that's in the past. And Jesus Christ is the present. He is here. And we are following him. He is our Lord and our Savior. So we are looking to him for everything that we need. We have the figures setting here of the altar, partaking of the blessings here in the New Testament, among which was fellowship with God made possible by the blood sacrifice of Christ. He offered, he offered at Calvary. And the sinner's acceptance of the same is taken from the peace offering in which the worshiper partakes of part of the flesh, of the sacrificial victim as a guest in God's house. Okay, he's talking to comparing this as the way it used to be and the way it is now, and the picture there of the sacrifice that was given and how Christ has fulfilled all of that for us. So only those who know Christ as Savior receive the blessings that he gives. And then we have the a consistent Christian life. It's characterized by spiritual sacrifices. Here, talking about what's coming. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Let's see. 1. And verse 5. It says, those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, whereby we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So we have here the the sacrifice of Christ and all that that means to us, and how it's overcome all of the past. They were all just a picture, but now he is the one who has redeemed us and made us his very own, and we are trusting in him continually. That's the spiritual sacrifice. Jesus suffered for us, and we are called to suffer for him. Look at verse 12. It says that, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us, there it is, go forth therefore unto him without the camp. So here we have our duty as believers to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. Even in times of difficulty, he's always there to help us and to lead us through and to keep us going. He's a friend that never, never forsakes us at any time. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and someday I'm going to come back and take you home to be with me. Notice in verse 15, he says, by him, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. So, the sacrifices that we offer today is not blood sacrifices. Jesus offered that one, right? We don't need to repeat his sacrifice. But we offer up a sacrifice of praise. Praise to God for all of his glory, for all of himself, continually. That the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to his name. And he says to do good, to communicate, to share, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Those are the sacrifices that we offer. We offer goodness, praise, thanksgiving, and sharing with others, offering up sacrifices in the name of the Lord. Obey them who have the rule over you, talks about. You know, have an orderly way of life. Look to the Lord for every need. Trust him. And then Paul says, well, did I say Paul? The writer of Hebrews says, pray for us. Pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. He says, pray for us, that we might stay on the straight and narrow pathway and do what we're telling you to do. You know, and you certainly need to pray for your pastors, that we might walk the right pathway, huh? That we might teach the truth, and that we might honor and magnify our Lord Jesus Christ. He closes with this beautiful, beautiful prayer in verse 20. He says, now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, may God help us that we might be faithful, true, and honest, and live our lives for his glory, for his name's sake. Don't let the world shake you up. Look to the Lord for his constant care. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, to know that this is true. You're with us to help us. May we not give up. Even when things seem to go wrong, may we continue to look to you and know that you're there to help us, guide and direct us by your Spirit. And may we love you and serve you and love one another as you've told us, that we might be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.